Random Beats presents Matt Mania Podcast, the Southwest authority on wrestling, hip-hop, and everything in between. Featuring Teak Hall, Rock Knowledge, The Neo X, and producer G1 to the rescue.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Matt Maniacs all around the globe.
What up, everybody? It's the what we call ourselves, the dangerous duo,
the gruesome twosome,
the dastardly dudes. What was our tag team name? It was called Creepy. Wait, what was it called?
The Creep Squad. No, Rock said we couldn't use that name because that was from I think Love and Hip Hop.
But okay.
Yeah, it's the duo with the fuel. Teak Hall in the building.
Yes.
We got Neo X.
Episode 178, y'all.
Coming in here kind of different today. No Rock Knowledge. No G1 to the rescue. He's out in New York celebrating his birthday. So make sure if y'all haven't, wish G1 a happy birthday.
Yeah, safe travels, friendo. Definitely keep it safe as best as you can.
Right, keep it tight. Keep the butthole tight.
Keep the mask tight.
Exactly. Don't bring nothing back. But yeah, so no drops, but you know, we about to drop them facts though.
Don't worry though, we have post-production. We have post-production coming. But it's been a while, Matt Maniacs. Thank you for toughing it out with us. We definitely appreciate you listening. Thank you for continuing to like, share, and subscribe. You know, help us out with those reviews whenever you can. And we definitely appreciate your time. You know, of course, it's hard times for everybody, baby, but hard times will come up on top. So just you wait.
Yeah. So how you been doing during this quarantine, Neo?
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, I just been staying busy with work. You know, watching wrestling when I can. Started playing some old video games again. As you know, I've also been trying to just keep more tidy. You know, that's why I was late to the show. So apologize about that. But yeah, overall, I'm doing well. The kids can be better. So, but you know. They're growing, so hopefully they can come on their own. But yeah, man, that's been pretty much me. What's up with you? How's the grind?
Not much, man. Trying to get used to working from home. It's kind of sucky.
You don't like it?
Nah, I don't like being home all the time.
So you haven't lost yourself in any YouTube holes while you're working?
I mean, like, my phone is ringing back to back right now because of the COVID stuff. So
the COVID,
it's hard for me to really like get down into something. So it's more like just me checking like fucking social media and stuff between calls and having like a movie on in the background with the subtitles on or something. So that I can like just look over at something. Like I told you guys, I was watching Akira the other day with the subtitles on, and I was like, I gotta watch this again with the sound on when I get off.
Oh man, you can't go wrong with that one. I've literally like dropped calls just when I was watching something. So like a call would come in the queue, and I'm like busy watching something.
So you would miss it, or you would just like drop it because you didn't want to take one?
I just drop it, yeah. Or there's been this.
I think everybody's done that before, man. I've done it.
Yeah, there's been a couple times where, you know, because my office is in the kitchen, or not in the kitchen, in my living room. But I would go into the kitchen, you know, to get breakfast ready and whatnot, and a call would come, and I would just walk to my computer, not run, just walk. And if the call drops, oh no. Sorry,
man. The best thing is putting them on hold.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do that. I'll put somebody on hold and just flip my eggs real quick.
For real.
Or I'll put them on hold and open up the oven and make sure I flip the bacon one time.
Did you putting them on hold? And yeah, Mad Maniacs, this is the secret. This is facts for people that handle your calls.
Yeah.
For people that handle your calls right now.
We're going to help you, but we don't want our bacon to be burning. All right?
No, I'm going to put you on hold even though I already know what I have to do.
Oh, yeah. Just to kind of extend that time a little bit. Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, man, I mean, yeah. I like working from home, to be honest, though, because I feel like I'm still rather productive, but not to the point where I'm losing my mind. And honestly, I feel like the days go by quicker. But it was very apparent because like I said before we got on the show, I was cleaning my closet and I'm like, God, there's so many clothes that I just don't wear anymore. And it's sad.
Oh,
like,
is that what you're doing? Are you getting rid of clothes right now?
No,
not
getting rid of them, just kind of organizing. And like I haven't worn my new Fly God tee. I've only worn my Fraser Paris tee once.
You need to rotate your clothes.
Yeah, but but that's the thing. Like I have like my What Would Sheen Gunn Do hoodie. Like I've only worn it once, you know. And I'm like, I got nowhere to go. Like, I got jeans with the tags on them because I haven't popped them off to go out anywhere. So.
Damn, look at Neo. He's stacking up during the quarantine. So when it's time to come out, he's going to be fresh to death.
Hey, you'd be surprised, though, because when Old Navy closed down and they had all that quote-unquote death stock, they were doing some sales on them jeans that I like. So, yeah, I would just buy accessories at this point. So, but yeah, man. But one thing that hasn't changed is... you know, the wrestling and of course the put over. And you know, we wanna definitely, you know, get the show started right for y'all. So let's start off with the put over. I'll start it off.
Sure
thing. Here. So I have the HBO Max and I've been watching
nice.
The show.
Watching
Close Enough. So Close Enough is made by the same guy who did Regular Show, JG Quintel.
Okay.
And Close Enough is an animated comedy series, and it's about this family living in Los Angeles. They're a married couple, Emily and Josh, and they have a daughter named Candace. And they actually live with their divorced best friends, Bridget and Alex. And just like Regular Show, they get into these regular situations, and then they just get blown out of proportion, which I like.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was actually made for Cartoon Network, but man, it is very, very adult. So,
similar style of, like, what's the animation style?
Super similar style. Like, okay. Yeah, you could definitely tell the influence. And in fact, there's actually a lot of callbacks from Regular Show in this show also. But I'm trying to take my time with this show. It's, you know, Close Enough because I don't want to kill it on one sitting. I want to savor the episodes. Right now I'm on episode You know what? Yeah, I'm on like episode 5 right now. Yeah, episode 5.
Is it just one season?
So far one season, yeah.
Okay, and then how many episodes in this season?
There's only 8.
Oh, so you're
according to the app, so I'm more than halfway there.
And they're just like 20 minute, half hour?
Pretty much, dude. Like 22 minutes. You can tell they were drawn for commercials, though, you know? Because
they black out and come back in like it was a commercial break?
Exactly, yep. They black out and come back in. So, but, you know, I like the show so far. It's definitely one that I can rewatch more than once.
Okay, nice. So yes. You'll give it another spin after you're done with it.
Yeah, so check out Close Enough. It's on HBO Max.
If you got it.
If not, I mean, the internet exists for reasons, right?
Right. What's their free trial looking like? How long is it? Is it 7 days?
I think it's still 7 days, yeah.
I might give them a free trial run because Doom Patrol Season 2 is out.
Yeah, in fact, I actually just started Doom Patrol Season 1, but then
it's
again,
so good, man.
Yeah, but again, like these other shows come out, and like my time just kind of gets it gets blurred a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. It's in my to-watch list, so I'm not giving up on it.
If you got the time to, if you got the time to spend to give it a shot, Doom Patrol is real good. It's like out of the DC like live action stuff, like it's good because it's got like that. It's got that self-aware factor, you know. It's got that corn where it knows it's corny.
yeah. And you know, it reminds me of like a Suicide Squad or like a Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, just like these uncanny heroes coming together. But I can appreciate, and that's why I appreciate it, you know.
You know, so. But it's also like the loser group, you know, like you said, like the Suicide Squad or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the shitty X-Men.
Yeah, it's the Y-Men.
But it does have what's his name? The fucking robot.
Brendan Fraser.
Not a robot guy.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser.
Oh, no, not him. That's Brendan Fraser, though, from The Mummy. I'm talking about Cyborg.
Oh, yeah, it's got Cyborg. You're right.
Yeah, so it's got a different dude from the movies, though, but they got a dude playing Cyborg who's supposed to be, like, the leader of their team who's going to come in, and he's from Detroit in the show, so that's dope.
Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not my put over though, but that shit is dope though. Check that shit out.
Honorable mention.
So my put over, as I was discussing with Neo off air, but I'll fill you guys in. So I'm a big Batman fan. What I really like most about Batman is the villains. I feel like Batman has compelling villains. They're always usually like some weird part of his psyche. So it's like usually more of a mental foe for him. But I've been watching the original Batman movies with Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah, none of that CGI BS.
Nah, man. I mean, I feel like that, since you said that, like I feel like Ben Affleck played a good Batman just in not good movies.
Oh, okay. I can like see that. Yeah.
Like the Batman they were going for, like the look from the Frank Miller Batman and stuff like that. Like he looked like a old, like grizzled Batman. He was big in the suit. So, but you know, then they bring Superman in, and they're supposed to be around the same age, even though Superman probably don't age or some shit. But you know, they're closer to age than Superman just joining and him already getting ready to retire. Talking about I'm too old for this shit. But the Michael Keaton one. So the first one, Jack Nicholson Joker, great villain. Jack Nicholson played the shit out that Joker. Everybody's gonna say Heath Ledger is the best Joker.
I mean, come on, how can you forget the Bat Dance?
If you go back and look at the Batman with the Joker in it, they took a lot of scenes from that in the new one with Heath Ledger and had him redo it. Like there's a scene where Jack Nicholson is with the mob telling them what to do. We killed somebody. Heath Ledger's Joker did that. They both got on the purple suit.
There was, comparisons, yeah.
They both had the scenes where they shot at Batman. Batman shot at them and missed, and then they just stood there waiting for him to like hit him, but he didn't. Like a lot of
lots of callbacks, lots of references.
Right, so that was dope. But what I want to talk about is Batman Returns and how fucking crazy it is. Like it's batshit crazy. And
let's think about that. Batman Returns from 1992, right? Uh-huh. And you know, you go into and you know, like you were saying off air, like how much detail went into the Penguin?
Yeah.
And as we know, being played by Danny DeVito, mm-hmm. right?
And
again, no CG. Like this is all prosthetics, cosmetics.
And think about this, like Batman, Bruce Wayne, fucking Gotham, Golden Boy or whatever, but the Penguin comes and he's like, well, my family was, you know, rich and ritzy as well, and you know, they got rid of me, but like it's like you live in my life. Like, yeah. I could have been the playboy billionaire that you are, because I come from the same type of lineage. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm what happens when they toss the shit to the sewer, you know? So that's why I was like, you know, to play on the psyche. Obviously, he's not a force physically for him, but you know, he's got his trinkets and shit like that. But he's just like,
well, and you know, like, he's kind of like, even if you really want to break it down, Batman's got gadgets, Penguin has gadgets,
yeah,
you know, and Penguin also has a crew, you know. It's
his crew was getting the shit beat out of them.
That's yeah, ain't no lie. Like, they're kind of they're an enhancement guys.
And he kills in this movie.
Yeah,
I just want y'all to know, Batman. I want y'all to know, Batman has killed in every movie. So for the people that say Batman don't kill, Batman put a bomb in some guy's pants and threw him in a hole in this movie, and it blew up. Where did that guy go?
He dead. He dead. It wasn't no multiverse bomb. That dude's dead.
No, and it's like, this Batman has several villains because it had Catwoman in it. Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's right.
Like, one of the, you know.
Didn't this one also have Christopher Walken, right?
Yes, it did. and some guy who was doing a good impression of playing Christopher Walken's son.
Oh, boy. Man, this is a good one. And I think, let me Google this real quick.
Hold on, while you're Googling that, let me tell you. So, Tim Burton did this shit. Tim Burton is fucking insane.
Oh, yep. Tim Burton.
And he's batshit crazy. And McDonald's had a deal with Batman for toys. And when Batman Returns came out, they had to pull the toys because parents were so mad at the movie because they thought it was too dark for their kids and shit.
No shit.
And I had one of the McDonald's toys.
Oh, I remember this penguin car. The penguin car with the spinning umbrella.
Yeah, with the spinning umbrella. Wasn't it the rubber ducky on wheels?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I remember that. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this at a garage sale or two.
Yep, that's what that's from McDonald's.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you actually bring this up. In fact, we gotta see if the Unfunny Nerd Tangent boys have done a review on Batman and Batman Returns, because that'd be a good show to be on.
Man, I'd love to do that, because, yeah, I've watched these several times. Like, I watch them back to back when I watch them. Sometimes I watch them in reverse and watch Batman Returns first, then watch Batman. But
I thought you just watched them in rewind.
No, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not really like an ongoing story.
Yeah.
It's just like shit happens in Gotham.
Oh, poor Gotham. Man, that's a good throwback, though. I appreciate that. I think, I definitely feel like I owe that one another watch, for sure.
Yeah, man, you know, during these quarantine times, these down times, these no movie coming out times,
yeah, you know,
not paying $25 to stream Scoob, so.
Yeah, Jesus.
Shout out to Tim, who did that
shit.
Shout
out to Tim, yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, like Cap was saying, he was talking about he was watching, like, every day he was watching a movie that he hadn't seen. Because when movies are coming out every week, movies get lost in the shuffle, especially when you got to spend your money on movies. You'd be like, oh, you know, you're more picky about what you're going to spend your money on. And you're like, I'll catch this movie later when it comes out on streaming or something. But you might not. You might miss it.
And he was saying, or it might not be available on your stream, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, right now, while we got this downtime, you know, people should use it to, you know, catch up on some of that stuff, you know, because we consume so much media and there's so much stuff out there that we haven't seen. I literally go on the internet to, like, sites that I stream from, and it'll be seasons of shows I've never heard of, and I'm like, 10 seasons? Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, that, yeah, that's definitely for sure. And you, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. We're in this time where we have the ability to catch up on so much. And I think you know, by speaking of catching up, check out the archives of Matt Mania Podcast. You know, we said this is episode 178. You got 177 episodes that y'all can listen to and continue to give us your feedback and thoughts on the show. You know, and speaking of the show, now that we have our putovers out of the way, we also wanted to ask each and every one of you to not only share the show, but to become a member of our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com, search the Matt Mania Podcast, become a patron, and sign up for those exclusive behind-the-scenes shows as well, and exclusive write-up pieces are available. There's also, you know, the occasional music drops as well, as we have some talented artists on our team. So continue to support us there. And
remember, without you, there is no us.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, we definitely thank you for continuing to ride with us during these times. And we also ask if you could, you know, once you're ready to buy some fresh tees, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Check out the Matt Mania Podcast. Again, search Matt Mania Podcast on Pro Wrestling Tees. We got some designs out there. Every little bit counts. So, you know, do the ultimate shout out. Pick up a shirt. Show your support for the show.
And now, on to the wrestling.
Oh, the wrestling. So, we're kind of in this sweet spot, right? Because it's Wednesday. Or, I'm sorry, it's Thursday. Fight for the Fallen happened. NXT happened, but we also have a couple of pay-per-views going on this
week. What, like some TNA or something?
Yes, Slammiversary is going to be on Saturday, and then we have WWE's Extreme Rules Horror Halloween show on Sunday,
and we still got SmackDown on Friday.
So, again, our predictions are subject to change because...
We're actually, Friday. You said we're in that sweet spot. Like, we're 3-in, 3-out, right? Like, Raw, NXT, and AEW. And then we got 3 more.
Yeah. So you know, we'll give you some takes on some situations, but...
Right. Yeah, we'll still give you our picks for the people from SmackDown. Because no matter what happens on Friday, like, the picks shouldn't change.
Yeah, for sure. Let's... do you want to start it off with... maybe just like the Fighter Fest. You want to go over some of that stuff, or did you want to go? Okay, cool. So Fighter Fest had an interesting dynamic. It was a really entertaining show. You had Jon Moxley going up against Brian Cage. You had Cody going up against Sonny Kiss. You even had the Jurassic Express versus the Elite, right? Uh-huh. And then you also had like the Lucha Bros versus FTR. So I thought this was a very jam-packed show. I watched it from start to finish. And moreover, there was also some surprises from like Nyla Rose as well. So lots to digest here for Fighter Fest. And this show was really nice because all the proceeds did go to... you know, for the fight against the COVID, the baby bag bitch COVID, and you know, this one was a really good show.
And what was your match of the night?
So my match of the night, hands down, was the and this is going to sound kind of unnatural from my lips, because you know I'm a big Lucha Bros fan, but I really enjoyed the Elite versus Jurassic Express. That match was fire, man.
And as we know, Neo, you watch Being the Elite, correct?
Yes, sir. Well, watch Being the Elite for sure.
Are they teasing heel Kenny? Is he going back to the cleaner?
It's getting there, right? So right now the Bucks are Christian AF. But Kenny is he's taking enhancements like C4 pre-workout and melatonin gummies to go to sleep, and that's not something that good Christian boys dabble in.
Okay.
So, and you know, he's starting to get the crazy cleaner look in his eye again, you know, which y'all remember, you know, the best bout machine, Kenny Omega, the cleaner. That was a ruthless motherfucker.
And you know, would it also, I mean, I feel like that's the turn that they're heading to. It seems like he's bumping heads with everyone.
Well,
because like the Young Bucks are cool with FTR, but then
FTR is not cool with Kenny.
Right. And you know, Hangman and Kenny, you know, have never been on good terms.
And then Hangman's cool with FTR, but he's not cool with the Bucks. Right?
Right.
So the other X factor in this storyline, which is very, very enthralling, is you have, you know, Tully Blanchard.
I was hoping you were going to bring that up. Okay.
Consistently in the stands, being highlighted as someone who is scouting. Why? You know why. There's going to be a Neo Horseman arrival, you know?
Right.
So
who's it going to be? FTR. Is going to be FTR. Is going to be. Fuck.
It's going to be FTR. And I'm hoping.
Oh, Cody.
Cody. Yeah.
FTR, yeah. Cody, Arn.
Yeah, but I'm hoping it's going to be FTR, Cody. And I would actually prefer Hangman over Sean Spears, just because it'll create the actual rift in the Elite. But I can also see Sean Spears, you know, being the heater or the one that actually takes the L's for the group, you know?
Okay.
Because yeah, it's got to be someone.
You thinking it's going to be FTR with Cody? That looks more classic Horseman.
Yeah, it's going to be FTR, Cody, and Sean Spears.
That's our predictions, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean...
Or life.
Yeah, so again, like a Neo Horseman, a new Horseman, hopefully coming soon. But man, the Jurassic Express versus the Elite also triggered like another... Well, I guess I should set the stage, right? Lucha Brothers versus FTR. Unfortunately, the Lucha Brothers lost because the FTR, you know, with some tomfoolery shenanigans.
Oh yeah, that was some BS.
They were so disrespectful to pull the pride, the mask of Rey Fénix, and hit him with the most devastating move in wrestling, sports entertainment, the roll up.
You don't snatch a Lucha's mask off, man.
That's some disrespectful shit, homeboy. That's like chain snatching. You don't do that. Unless you want to get got. And so...
It was nothing he could do. He was keeping his face covered.
And so with that, you know, FTR, they catch the W. And who comes to try to make peace?
Hey, Neo, so did you know that in Mexico that's a DQ?
It's a DQ? I didn't know it was a direct DQ.
To take a... That's what Excalibur said.
Oh, okay. I think I might have missed that then.
But I was asking you, did you know, because you go to Mexico to watch wrestling. But they don't really do that, huh? Nobody is that
No, damaged. I think the only time they do it is when they do mask versus hair matches or mask versus mask matches, you know?
Okay.
Now that you bring it up, yeah, like they never really do that. Or at least the shows that I've watched. Mind you, it's not a lot of shows, but I've seen enough shows. But I've never seen luchadors actually intentionally go for the mask like that. Okay. Now that you bring it up, that really clears it up for me, yeah.
So, yeah, fucking FTR got the win. And did you say who came out to make the save?
Yeah, so Kenny and Hangman... They come out to make peace because if you recollect the episode before, you know, FTR came to offer a peace offering or a beer offering.
Yeah, to Kenny.
To Kenny and Hangman, right? But Kenny, he poured it out. And that's a sign of disrespect. And, you know, when Kenny tried offering the same to FTR, they took the disrespect further and poured it all over Kenny.
Yeah, man, they trumped them with the disrespect.
Yeah, so they so that is, you know, again, it's pushing Kenny to the limit, and I think the limit was pushed even further, because after the Elite picked up the W from Lucha, or from the Jurassic Express, he just continued to beat the he was beating Marco Stunt. He was beating the hype out of Marco Stunt after that match. So, yeah, he was taking him down. He was cleaning him up, for lack of a better word. And, yeah, and the Bucks didn't like it. Lucha Express didn't like it. Or Lucha Express. Jurassic Express didn't like it. I keep trying to say Luchasaurus. You know, so, again, crazy Candy the Cleaner.
Yeah, and I feel like this was, I feel like this has been a long time build, but I kind of knew it was going to happen eventually, because like Kenny was losing a lot of matches, and it was like, okay, yeah, like, so he's losing a lot of matches, he's going to go on a downward spiral or whatever, so he go heel, and then once he turns to the Cleaner, he's just going to clean his way up to the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
And John, I think, Moxley hold the title long enough to see Kenny versus him for a title. Since we know we've seen some Kenny Moxley matches early on.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, though, that match was just a gimmick match, right? It was like a false count anywhere.
Which one, the one that they had?
Yeah, they had a false count anywhere match, right?
I thought it was, yeah, something like an unsanctioned match or something.
Yeah, so they haven't had a pure wrestling match, so to speak.
No.
Okay. I mean, there's more to come. I mean, I think Kenny as the champion one day, I can definitely see it, and I can definitely see Kenny being the type of champion that has a very long reign. When we'll see it, I don't know. I don't think I want Kenny to be champion now, though. I feel like Kenny should be champion in about a year or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is there a reason somebody you want to see champ before him?
You know, I'm hoping to see. I was hoping to see like the type of feud that he had with Okada. And I know it's kind of hard to say because AEW, New Japan, they're definitely different. But I just want someone to like bring out the best of Kenny, and I thought that person was going to be Pac, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did they have a match though? Didn't they?
Yeah, I think they've had a match. And where is he right now, anyway?
I think he's still in England or
okay,
like that.
Got stuck over there when all this went down.
Yeah, you know what, Pac, they did have a match with Kenny. And I think I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see it again.
You wanted more?
They did a 30-minute Iron Man match at, what is it, All Out? I think it was All Out or something like that. But I just want to see that one more time, you know? Either Kenny versus Pac, or maybe even Kenny versus Brian Cage. I think that might be fun.
And speaking of Brian Cage, so Moxley and Brian Cage is my match of the night.
Yeah, that one was a good one. It told a great story.
Yeah, it was good storytelling. Brian Cage, fucking the machine. He was getting that offense in. Showing.
Yeah, but John Moxley, being the champion that he is, focused on the. And they made it known during the promos, right?
He was focusing on the
bicep, and you know, lo and behold, you know, he got the win over Brian Cage via like an armbar. But let me ask you this: is Brian Cage losing this match as the FTW champion? Do you feel like his value has now been like decreased or sullied? You know, how do you feel?
Because
Taz threw the towel in.
Right. So right? He didn't tap out. He didn't tap. Taz threw the towel in. And because they played up his injury, so as to say he's not 100% because of that. And since that was what Moxley was going after, and he was going to win it via the arm bar had he not thrown the towel in. It's like, well, you won it by going after the part of somebody who wasn't 100%, which, I mean, in a fighter in wrestling, you know, nobody can say that you can't do it, but, you know, isn't that cheap?
Well, and that's kind of where... I kind of had this back and forth where I thought that match was just going to be better. Honestly, I liked it for what it was and the story, but I just thought that it was going to be better. Because I've seen Brian Cage wrestle and he can pull out a great show. Something in the back of my mind, however, is telling me Moxley's just not up to snuff that these quote unquote indie guys are at right now.
Okay.
You know? And I don't know. I think I might be mesmerized by like the indie style. And Jon Moxley just wrestles kind of like a brawler. You know? Like it's not really exciting to watch a Moxley match. I guess I should say it's not really exciting to me to watch a straight up wrestling match from Jon Moxley.
Yeah, but I was watching it more for Cage. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he can still wrestle because he had like great matches in Japan and he had these awesome matches even with, you know, Suzuki. He's still the United States champion of New Japan, if I'm not mistaken. But I've seen him do great, and this match, I guess, just wasn't the best that he's known for, to me. Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, so other than that, Moxley retained. Was there any other titles?
No, there was a really nice Chris Jericho segment though. That was hilarious.
Yeah, go ahead and speak on it.
So
speak on the juice.
So yeah, exactly that. Jericho got juiced by Orange Cassidy. I think Jericho did an awesome job playing up to Orange Cassidy. You know, he bigged him up really high. You know, to the fact that he even said, you know, you pushed me to my limit, and since I beat you, you'll never get a rematch. I thought that was very impressive. But again, the psychological sloth that Orange Cassidy is, he was able to, you know, to take it a step further and get that rematch from Chris Jericho after all. So, I mean, and they had a great match.
The rematch is a tag match, right?
No. Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, they're going to go up against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus next week.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure there'll be another rematch between he and Cassidy. And man, that match that they had at Fyter Fest night two was nothing to miss. It was great. I like that match also.
Yeah, so then, but that, the Jericho skit happened sometime during the night, and then Jericho came back out and he was on commentary or stayed out and got on commentary while he was still wet with juice on him.
Got that juice.
And someone gave him a towel that had Orange Cassidy's face on it.
Oh man, talk about just taking it a step further, right? So
the burns.
Yeah, it was a really great segment.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all catching up on that. I mean, you mentioned Nyla Rose's new manager, right?
Yep, Miss Vicky Guerrero. You know, how plainly put by Nyla Rose, everybody's got a manager here. I'm gonna get a manager here, and I'm like, oh, okay, okay, I guess, you know. So I get it. I think it's great that they're giving out jobs like that. I mean, I think managers are the it's the forgotten art of wrestling. You know,
I'm sorry, Neo, but it's at this point that I have to be Rock Knowledge since he's not here. But what's up with NXT being like the home for all of the fucking ex talent, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Rock always says, like, oh, I thought NXT was supposed to be, not NXT, but I thought AEW was supposed to be something new. And
yeah,
how can it be new? You know, I keep bringing in the same people. And is it shock value when you bring in, like, Vicky Guerrero? Like, I watch, sorry,
yeah.
I do watch Ups and Downs, and that dude called it, like, a couple weeks ago. He was like, oh, yeah, I bet you her manager will be fucking Vicky Guerrero. He was, I mean, like, that'll really piss people off, and then that's who it was.
Yeah. And it made sense to me. That was actually my intuition, even before watching Ups and Downs, because Vicky Guerrero was a constant at the shows, first off. Secondly, she was the only, quote-unquote...
Has she been? I didn't
Yeah. Know. Yeah, absolutely. You know, she's like a classic manager. When it comes to women managers... I don't, the first person who comes to my mind, and this is probably because of my wrestling ignorance, but it's Vicky Guerrero, you know? So it made sense to me that she would be, a heel manager for a heel wrestler. I'll say this when it comes to the managers. I appreciate it, but you're right. I think they're doing it way too much. I think at this point, if I have to choose a manager to go away, it would be Jake the Snake. Okay. I don't think he brings any real value, in my opinion. I don't think he needs to talk for Lance Archer.
Lance Archer. I was about to call him the Murder Hawk. Is that him?
That's his moniker. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're right.
All
right. Yeah, but I don't see enough of Tully to become bored of him, and I know Arn Anderson's role with Cody, because he's a coach, so of course he's going to be out there.
Right, and then you got DDP. Taz,
well, yeah, and DDP, DDP is not as frequent, right, as everybody else. But you have Taz out there being the advocate for Brian Cage, which is fine, because I don't remember Brian Cage ever being a good promo. Nyla Rose is good, so I'm interested to see what Vicky's going to bring to the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you have another manager with Leva Bates, who is starting to become a little bit more on the heel side, right? And you know, you have other heel managers like what's the girl's name? She's with Chris Sabin. She plays a manager role sometimes, but she's also a wrestler.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, her name is just not coming to my head. But I can appreciate it, but at this point, it does need to get taken back a little bit.
The amount of managers are the amount of managers that's ex WCW, WWE talent.
Yeah, I think the amount of legend managers needs to get taken back a bit.
Yeah, everybody can't be managed by a legend. At that point, it's like you're playing wrestler Pokemon, and managers are just throwing wrestlers at you.
Yeah, I like the fact though that they each manage one, which I can appreciate. But I'm interested to see what Tully does with a new horseman, so to speak. Because remember when Paul Ellering was with AOP, that was dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I'm interested to see what Tully's going to do if he does a new horseman stable.
Yeah, those AOP guys have went nothing but down since he left.
Oh, God, where are they now?
I don't know. Are they injured again?
I think one of them is injured, and...
And one of them sucks.
And if one is not with the other, they just fall apart.
So. Right. When it's not allowed to have a career without the other one, which is surprising since Vince doesn't like tag wrestling anyway. Like, why not just let the other guy? Or, isn't he? Wasn't they part of Seth Rollins' faction? Did he just say fuck those guys once he got Buddy Murphy and
Austin, whatever his name is? Pretty much. And honestly, I think going into, you know, talking about Seth Rollins, you know, his character has been interesting to watch, but the whole eye for the eye match with Rey Mysterio,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just not sold on it, because in reading the dirt sheets and reading like the you know what's on the internet, they're talking about doing like actual CGI during this match. Did you read about that?
No, CGI what, to make it look like he took an eye out?
Yeah. And I don't think I'm ready to see that. Like, I'm just not. Like, I know there's like been advancements in CG and whatnot, but if you're gonna make this into a production style match, like the Eye for the Eye match,
well, it's the horror show, so they gotta get the horror in.
Okay, and I think they've been. And I'm hoping that my opinion does change because I want to be entertained. So I just hope that it just doesn't insult my intelligence, you know.
I think that Dominic is just going to turn on his dad, on Ray.
I don't see that.
And join up with Seth.
Nah, I don't see that. Seth already has the crew.
Yeah, but know? he doesn't have his enemy's son, like Eddie Guerrero.
I'll say this to that point, it'll definitely be shock value. And I guess like the wrestling fan in me would never want to see, you know, the son turn against the father.
And Dominic's gonna be the one to take his eye.
It hits too close to home. Yeah, maybe Dominic sacrifices his own glasses for his dad, and maybe Dominic's glasses saves the day.
Well, you're hoping for that because you don't want to think about sons turning on the dads, but
absolutely not. Dominic, absolutely not.
Dominic's gonna gouge Ray's eye out.
I don't know.
Hand it to Seth.
It's gonna be, man. It's definitely gonna be a very weird show, and this may be my fault because I guess I just haven't been as invested with WWE, but you know, I think they lateraled Extreme Rules to be a horror show because they said, "Oh well, we're gonna do a swamp fight with Braun and Bray, and then we're gonna do this eye for the eye match with Ray and Seth." So since we're gonna maybe overly produce these two fucking matches,
well, yeah,
let's just gimmick this pay per view.
Because we can, well, because they've seen that the produced sets have, our matches have done good, you know.
Yeah,
so
they've been successful with making those matches.
So now
right.
if they do a bunch of those, theming it around the horror show, you know. Now, mm-hmm. like you're saying, which I agree, they have a reason to.
Yeah, they justify themselves
to do things, to produce it.
They work themselves into a shoot.
We gotta watch it.
Well, let's go over this card as of now. Now, mind you, we said it already, Matt Maniacs, we're in the sweet spot where we haven't watched SmackDown, so cards are subject to change. The first match we have,
no refunds,
no take backsies, no nuts, no butts, no coconuts. So the first match on the card, or not even on the card, I'm sorry, I don't even know how the show is going to be structured. However, from this list, Apollo Crews
pre-show.
This is going to be pre-show.
Oh no, I was saying, what's your guess for a pre-show match?
Well,
rematch against Cesaro and
looking
Shinsuke.
At this, looking at this list, dude. And you said it like a couple minutes ago. There's no tag team wrestling on this card. Not even the Raw titles.
Well, that's why I was saying maybe. I think a rematch with Shinsuke and Cesaro versus The New Day might end up being pre-show.
Man, yeah, I guess it'd be sad, but it is what it is.
But you were saying the first match is going to be Apollo Crews and MVP.
Well, yeah, and I don't know the structure of the card. No, this is just, okay. This is kind of the list that I found. Mm-hmm. But they have the United States Championship match, Apollo Crews versus so MVP is like a self-proclaimed champion, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, he supposedly commissioned that new belt, so that's why he's been wearing it, and he said that once he beats Apollo on Sunday, he'll really be the champ, like, so
the Dipset title.
Yeah.
Okay. That yeah. title, I don't know. It looks kind of fly if you look at it long enough.
It's the dips. But yeah, I think, I think MVP is going to win it.
Well, and this is the thing, right? MVP.
And I think Apollo is going to join.
Yeah, like he's calling it the Hurt Squad or something like that, or Hurt Business, Hurting Business, something like that. But yeah, he's got this faction going, and he's got, you know, big old Bobby Lashley in mm-hmm. his corner, you know?
They're trying to get Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to create like a better nation, you know?
Man, every time it's a group of black guys, it do not have to be the nation. But I don't know why they want to put a group of black guys together.
If you can make another comparison, I am open to it.
A black NWO.
Man, that hasn't happened in my life. Okay, but let's just say that. Let's just say they make a new black NWO where like these guys just don't give two shits about nothing. They just want the gold. Like they're a force to be reckoned with. I'm down for that because, again, and I think you and I share the same opinion, there's just not enough factions, you know? Right. And there doesn't need to be an over amount of factions, but give us something, you know?
Right.
You
don't and have I, that. I appreciate the fact that MVP is trying to just recruit the black guys. I appreciate it. I see what he's doing.
He's trying to give opportunities, you know, to those who appreciate it.
He's gonna get Cedric Alexander to turn on Ricochet and jump him.
You don't think isn't Ricochet a brother? Isn't he black?
No, he is, but they're both not gonna join. Like all the black guys aren't gonna join the group. And since they're tag teaming together, but they're approaching Cedric, it would make more sense for Cedric to turn.
Oh.
Cross's brother, who he's been tagging with, to join with MVP and them.
So Ricochet is like Carlton and Cedric's Will.
Okay.
I'm making the comparison. Like they don't want the nice guy to be in the group, maybe.
Well, but
Apollo's a nice guy.
No, Apollo's got a little mean streak.
He smiles a lot though.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what held him back from the beginning. Was how
I remember that. I remember like that motherfucker smiled too much. I'm like, what? And lo and behold,
he was not gonna get nowhere smiling like that. He needs to just be mean.
If
you want Vince to push you, you gotta be a mean black guy.
I think you said it this one time. I'll never forget it. You said Apollo Crews just looked happy to be here, and that's why he'll never go nowhere.
Man,
you know. But
check those archives out, man. Y'all will hear hot takes like that.
Yeah, but he's got a shot now. Apollo Crews is a tremendous wrestler, don't get me wrong. And against MVP, you know, who's kind of past his prime, you can definitely tell there's going to be shenanigans with Lashley, or even, like you said before, Seti may, you know, just either jump ship and really help out. So we'll see.
Yeah, he could cost them that match too. But do you think if MVP wins, does it make Apollo look any like a bitch if he joins them after he loses? Or does he have to be like DDP and like always like be against the faction?
So let me make a comparison to that. And it goes back to Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega would always lose against Kota Ibushi, and he would never get the same opportunities as Kota Ibushi because of his losing streak. What happens? He joins the Bullet Club. He joins a crew that's got his back, and now he's winning all of them. So it doesn't hurt to have friends in your corner. And that's why Evil is double champion.
True that. I hear what you're saying. Man, I didn't think Evil would be double champion.
Hey, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if he joins, I don't think it's a bitch move. I think it's kind of like if you think back to maybe even gang mentality pack mentality.
If you can't beat him, join him.
You can't beat him, join him. Like, that's why there's a League of Villains. You know what I'm saying? So, why not? I'll be okay with it. I just don't want Apollo Crews to wear Timberlands. That's all I want. I don't want to see that.
So you'd be okay if it was immediate. So what is Apollo one? Are they on SmackDown or Raw?
I think they're on Raw because the IC title's on SmackDown.
Okay, so this is Sunday, so Monday he can join.
Oh yeah.
He come out and MVP comes out and calls him out, and then he gets down or lays down.
I don't think he'll get down or lay down. I think well, and now you bring up a great point, right? Because what if Apollo can appreciate the fighting spirit behind MVP and wants to join him because, you know, he respects his fight. He respects him as a warrior. That's one way you can look at it, or the other way you can look at it is Apollo snaps and just recognizes that power in numbers. So if you can't beat him, join him. I think it can go either way with Apollo, because we don't have him defined as a character yet, right?
No, this could be a defining moment. The Rock didn't get defined until he joined a nation, since you wanted to bring the nation up.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that's when he finally found his edge, you know, is when he joined with the nation. He finally found his edge there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so I'll say, yeah, I think I'll agree with you. My winner is going to be MVP.
Okay.
With Shenanery.
Sure thing. A little Bobby Lashley interference. Fucking full Nelson.
Maybe a little Cedric Moonsault action. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go down this list. What about, we talked about it a little bit, the Ojo por Ojo match with Seth and Rey. Ojo por Ojo lucha.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Seth.
Right, with Dominic being recruited, right?
Well, but then does that make him the winner, or does that make him the loser, but like losing the battle but winning the war? Is it no DQ because it's eye for an eye?
Oh, yeah. They're going to rip each other's eyes out.
Okay, cool. So I think he's going to win with Dominic Shenanigan.
So see, I think Ray's gonna win with Dominic Shenanigan, but positive Shenanigan. I think Dominic will sacrifice his eye for his father.
So we agree that Dominic is the wild card in this match.
Yeah, his eyes are getting gone. The loser will be Dominic's eyeballs.
Dominic will have no eyes.
Oh, and then he becomes a blind wrestler. Damn. Was that blind fighter in Mortal Kombat? What's his name?
No, but if you remember, oh no, there is a blind wrestler in Mortal Kombat. I don't remember his name though. But I was gonna say, but don't you remember there was a blind wrestler in the fucking Page movie?
Oh, yeah. He trained. Okay, he trained a little bit.
He did train a little bit.
Yeah, but he took a bump.
That's going to be Dominic.
Yeah, I think the guy we're talking about is Kenshi from Mortal Kombat. There you go. He's going to be the new Kenshi.
Kenshi can see with his third eye. He don't need eyes.
Yo. So let's see. Next match. Let's see. Oh, here it is. SmackDown Women's Champion. Bayley versus Nikki.
Cross? Fuck is she still doing here? Bayley's gonna win.
Exactly. Bayley. Yep. I agree. Bayley. And I don't know enough about that to even have an opinion. I'll just pick Bayley too.
Bayley and Sasha Banks are having too much fun. Their chemistry is too good right now. They're holding shit together on both shows. So
let's talk about that, because Sasha versus Asuka is for the Raw Women's Title. So do you think Sasha takes the title and becomes
a two champ?
Sasha two belts with Bayley? Do you think it's too much?
I don't know, because she's been calling herself Sasha two belts even though she don't got the other belt.
Yeah.
And like, to have them both be like the tag champs and have both the women titles, like that would be pretty dope. Like, who's done it?
Yeah, who's done it, right?
You got Keith Lee being double champ in NXT, like.
Yeah. You got Evil is triple champ in Japan. No, quadruple champ in Japan.
Shit. So, hey.
It's, why not? It's the, why not? Why not? I mean, hell, you ain't got nothing else to do.
Right. It'll give them more shit to brag about.
We're going to be watching. All right. So I think for the Raw women's title, I want Asuka to win just because I like Asuka, but I would really appreciate a Sasha win, but I'll stick with Asuka.
I'll go with Sasha.
Okay. I'm just going to say, I'm sticking with Asuka because fuck you, Rock Knowledge. That's why.
Did you order the Asuka mask?
Oh, yeah. It was on special. Ayo. I got to get one for Rock.
But, he'll burn it.
So we're both picking
Paige. No, why did I say Paige? What the fuck am I talking about? Becky. Becky Lynch.
Yeah. So Becky. Oh no, not Becky Lynch. It's gonna be between Sasha and Asuka.
But the match before that you said was
Bayley versus Nikki Cross.
There we go. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. My bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bayley. Yeah, Becky Lynch is pregnant. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. We both picking Bayley, and then you got Asuka, and I got Sasha. Okay.
Yep. Correct. All right. So we good on that. Next one is going to be it's WWE Championship match. Drew Claymore McIntyre versus the level one boss Dolph Ziggler.
Oh man, I don't even know why this match is happening because Drew's gonna kick his face off.
Well, I tell you what, right? When Dolph brought Heath Slater back for that one little segment, I would have preferred to watch Heath and Drew in this pay-per-view versus Dolph, hands down.
Heath's working out, man.
Yo, he looks ripped. For having kids, that food's ripped.
Right, he's got kids. He's lifting his kids.
Yeah, I got kids. I don't look anything like that. So I just felt like there was definitely more there because he cut that flame promo on Drew. I think that was enough to elicit a reaction, of course, because they got physical. But they could have paid it off at the pay-per-view. Heath could have done the job. He could have gone out on his back, so to speak. I think it's a wasted opportunity. And I even said this on the Steel Cage show where I wanted Heath to just get one more in him versus you have this transitional or this guy who's known as a transitional champion, Dolph Ziggler, stepping up to the plate, playing mind games and shit that hasn't got him anywhere.
No, but don't worry because they're just going to bring 3MB back together.
Oh my God, where is the modern day Maharaja when you need him?
I think he's injured.
He's probably injured.
But if he comes back and now Heath is getting ripped, then it'll be the 3MB, but they'll all be beefcakes.
Oh, so what were they called? The three man cake band?
Yep. The three meat boys.
Again, team triple stack over here. Okay. So my pick, Drew, hands down.
Yeah.
Yep.
There would have to be some, no shenanigans, just Drew kicking his face off.
Okay. And you watched Up and Down just like I have. Seth, Simon. When he shows that fucking roll up counter, it really blows my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like every time he makes another mark on that roll up counter, it really baffles my mind the amount of roll ups that have been happening in the WWE. So hopefully there's no roll ups in this pay per view.
Yeah, Drew's not rolling anybody up. Mm-hmm. And I was gonna say there might be shenanigans, but they're not about to take the title off Drew either, so no shenanigans.
Fuck no.
Just Drew scraping Dolph's face off the bottom of his boot after the match.
Honestly, I don't see Drew losing the title until Roman comes back or Brock Lesnar comes back. Like, I just don't see it, dude.
And he gets a proper feud.
Yeah, no one's touching him. I think Drew had a proper feud, in my opinion, with Lashley. And I really thought they could have done maybe even two more matches. You know? Mm-hmm. And especially now with MVP, you know, he could really, like, shuffle some shit around and you know maybe pay for his boy to get that number one spot.
Yeah, he might bring him. He might bring him back to the promised land.
So I don't know. I thought Drew and Lashley had more in it, but you're just throwing Dolph in here. Whatever. You know. Okay. I'll watch Dolph get his shit kicked in. All right. Last but not least is the Wyatt Swamp fight. It's a non-title match too, bro.
It's non-title?
According to the card, it's non-title.
So it's just like a grudge match or something? Like he already beat Bray, and now...
Yeah, it's like whoever's king of the swamp at this point. Like, I don't understand.
But he beat, like, what? Funhouse Bray, right? He Firefly Funhouse Bray?
And now Bray's coming back as Florida Retirement Bray.
As Gator Boy Bray? Original Bray?
Yeah. Gator Boy, Floridian Gator Boy, fedora wearing Bray Wyatt.
Honestly, I wish it was for the title, because I just would prefer Bray to take it off of Braun. Braun is so fucking boring right now. And they killed him, man. I don't know what they did to him, but Braun is... His time passed when I wanted him to be champ. This championship run is not... And so, it could because there's no fans, or, you know, blame it on what you want to blame it on. But he didn't earn it in the first fucking place. And that might be why I'm upset with his run, because of all the chances he could have got. He got, like, because someone was sick or someone couldn't be there.
Yeah.
And he just took their spot, and then y'all gave him the title.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his victory, if you can even count it, was lackluster. He hasn't had any proper defenses. You know, honestly, the attention's more on Randy Orton than it is on any of the champions at this point, even Drew included.
But there was a time when Braun Strowman was, like, trying to kill people with trucks and shit. And, you know, and when he was a madman, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, give this guy the title. Like, nobody will fucking touch him. But now it's just like the shtick is worn out. Like, WWE always fucking does. They miss their fucking opportunity. They don't jump on the opportunity when they have the chance. I know they think that Braun Strowman is young and they had time, but y'all gave it to him anyway. So if y'all gave him the title anyway, you should have gave it to him when he was at the hype.
I agree, because I feel like they can really make Braun, you know, into like, let's just say, a positive version of Brock Lesnar. They really could. If they put effort into it, because they could make, Braun Strowman this awesome giant to watch, this spectacle to watch, and just have him, like, just smash dudes and, you know, become the champion, and then actually give him some blood feuds.
Right,
with, like,
he was dead, and then they ghost him off with the Saturday Night Live guy. It's like,
mm-hmm.
can they bring him back?
And with the boy champion, the boy tag team wrestler, you know, it's
if he drowns Bray in the swamp, can he come back?
I think what'll happen is Bray is gonna win this fight, and Braun is gonna become the Swamp Thing, and then when Bray comes out, he can summon Swamp Thing to come and defeat his enemies.
Okay, so Braun is joining the family again.
Yeah, but as a Swamp Thing.
Under some magic.
Yeah, swamp rules.
Okay. Hey, Bray rules the swamp. Yeah, give it to fucking Bray.
Yeah, give it to Bray.
Plus he lost the last one, so there's no reason to job Bray out. Y'all just brought him back.
Yeah, he can maybe put that blue title on the shelf and bring back that beef jerky title. Mm-hmm.
If they put the title on the line.
Bray Wyatt. That's right. That's right. There's no title on this one.
Bray, just feed him to a gator.
There you go. And get rid of that blue abomination.
Yeah, fucking Undertaker was allowed to kill people. They threw people off a fucking WWE roof. Feed Braun to an alligator.
Yeah. And it's funny because You know, remember when they did the that Money in the Bank on the roof, and they threw Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio, and they landed on another roof?
Yeah,
yeah. There ain't no roofs, just swamp, baby.
Right. Can't so you can that. So you can have Bray, you can have Braun get eaten by a huge gator, and then Braun busts out the stomach of it.
And then he comes out like wearing like a gator mask and arms, and now you have a Luchasaurus.
Get these hands.
And now we're going to have Luchasaurus versus Gator Braun. Well, I mean, that pretty much sums it up.
Sounds like we're losing our mind.
fight for the Fallen, you know, was a great match. And, you know, our picks for the horror show with WWE Extreme Rules. Let us know if your winners match with ours. Let us know about your takes and what your thoughts are on the show. Hopefully we have this show before Sunday so y'all can listen to it. But hey, don't miss out on the opportunity to watch Slammiversary, to watch SmackDown. Let us know, you know, some of the matches to not miss on that Slammiversary card. I'll say this right now, Chris Bay and Willie Mack, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the match of the night.
Oh, man.
For Slammiversary. But hey, who knows? The only way to know is to tune in.
So, tune in, baby.
So you know.
All right. Well, that's it for tonight, Nia.
Yeah, unless you have any burials or snacks to share.
Huh. You know, snacks. This. If we don't do a snack, this will be like a first Mad Mania without snacks.
You know what, though? What about a burial? You got a good burial?
Nope.
All right, I'll pick a burial. I'll say I want to bury all the Karens out there. So Karens
Because y'all be caring about the wrong shit.
That's right. Caring about the wrong shit. All the Karens out there and all those who don't wear the mask. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, man. Stop acting like bitches. Mask up.
Yeah, just mask the fuck up. Come on. If Kane can wear that bullshit mask for an hour on a pay-per-view, you can wear your mask for 5 minutes outside.
Mask on. Got your mask on.
I got my mask on. But yeah, and I think for snack of the week,
give us something, Neo. You never picked a snack.
All right. I'll give it up to... let's see. You know what? I'll give it up to... who was really sexy? I'll give it up to Brandi Rhodes.
Woo! There you go.
She was looking very delicious on Fight for the Fallen. So I'll give it up to Brandi Rhodes. You the snack girl.
And her unannounced tag team that you had to watch being the elite to know what was going on.
Yeah, she had a tag team with what's her name? Allie. It was Allie, you
know?
The bunny. So that's weird, right? So Allie was with the Butcher and the Blade, and JR said if they had a bakery on commentary for some reason. And then JR didn't let go of the fact that the Butcher and the Blade stole a car. Why weren't the cops called? Uh-huh. Fucking A, JR. Just shut the fuck up. Dude. Like, you're not helping the cause with your commentary. So
he's asking the tough questions. Why didn't someone call the cops?
Oh man, I'm over here trying to watch the Lucha Bros and FTR, and he's over here talking shit about Butcher and the Blade. I'm like, man, come on.
He said about them owning a bakery.
Yeah, he was talking about the Blade looks like a baker. I wonder what the butcher helps him out in the store or something like that. I don't know, but
just some. So he was old man, dumb joke that wasn't.
Yeah, wasn't catching. it just made me do the what face for sure. You know, that's why he needs to be carried by like Jericho and Excalibur and Taz. Like, you know, he needs to have the reins on him just a little bit. But hey, it's legendary JR. You know, he does have his moments, but. Sometimes you definitely have to like give him the side eye.
So, Brandi Rhodes, snack of the week. JR is whack of the week.
Whack of the week. But yeah, man, I'll give it to Brandi Rhodes as a snack. She was looking really, really cute on Fight for the Fall at the show.
Yes, sir. All right, Matt Maniacs. Well, that's going to be it. We both got work in the morning, so you know how that is. So thank y'all for joining us for another great episode. Awesome, indeed. Spectacular, even. Any other adjectives or nouns or verbs that you would like to use to describe this podcast?
Yeah. Just continue to follow us on our social medias. On Twitter, I am the NeoX, and Teak Hall is Teak_Hall on all the social medias.
Yes, sir.
Follow us at Matt Mania Pod and Matt Mania Pod on Instagram, Matt Mania Podcast on Twitter, of course, Patreon, Pro Wrestling Tees. We also have a link for Teak's project on Bandcamp for the Killer Crafts from Outer Space.
Thank you.
Be sure to check that out and all the discography of Teak Hall as well. But ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, wash your hands, but
mask up, social distance.
Yeah, do everything you can to protect yourself. Obviously, the government's not helping us out 100%, so we just got to take care of each other and our loved ones. So
yeah, so care a little bit about your fellow man and stop complaining about your freedoms or your constitution or your, you know, stop focusing on you.
Yeah,
it's not just about your safety; it's the safety of everyone else, including you.
Yep, we're all on this little floating rock together. We might as well make the most of it and help each other out on it.
All right, man.
All right, y'all. Good night. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds like a good way to go out.
What up, this Chocolate Thunder, sir? Willie Mac, and you tuning in to Matt Mania Podcast, baby, West Side.